Hi, this is John Barber from IDW Publishing. You are listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to All Things Transformers.
Welcome to an all-new generation of All Things Transformers as we get the origins of any and all Transformers fans that we can. This is episode 271. I am, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me is, I believe, the creator, but he'll tell that part of the story at some point. But it is Charles, a.k.a. Big C, from Transmissions. So, ladies and gentlemen, we have a double shot of Transmissions. We had that number one Beast Wars fan. And now we have Big C. Hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is going to be fun, as always. So, these first five questions, for Transformers fans, they should be givens, because why would you be on a Transformers podcast, or why would you even be hosting a Transformers podcast for 9 years if you didn't grow up with the franchise? But did you grow up with Transformers, and at what age do you first remember noticing the franchise?
Yes, of course. I was, of course, G1 original OG. I grew up in the 80s, like a lot of my fellow Transformers fans, although, you know, I think we've got, you know, the fandom has gotten a lot bigger than when we were kids. So I appreciate, you know, how every new generation of kids finds something to grab onto with Transformers, which is great. But yeah, I grew up in the 80s. I was 8 years old in 1984. So I was the prime demographic. And yeah, Transformers hit me like a ton of bricks. I think the cartoon is really what initially caught my interest. And, you know, I watched G.I. Joe, and then Transformers came right after it. I think it started off like on Saturdays or Sundays, but then it went to 5 days a week right behind G.I. Or I think it was Transformers, then G.I. Joe where I was. So, yeah, both of those, course, you know, the mid-80s with all that wonderful deregulation that allowed companies to make toy commercials, there were a lot of them. And I loved them all. He-Man, She-Ra, you know, Thundercats, all those 80s cartoons. But Transformers was the one that stuck with me after the 80s. So, you know, all those other things I kind of left behind. Even Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, I love that too. But
pizza
Transformers was the only thing that kind of stuck with me into adulthood.
Other than a few, whatever was on the VHS tapes, and other than the first five episodes of TMNT 87, I have never seen that series throughout its entirety. And I have had the Turtle Van DVD set. I'm actually watching through all of it, and I'm like, that's not Shredder's voice. Whose voice is that? There are a couple episodes of Turtles that it's not James Avery. One episode that I just watched in season, oh God, I'm probably going to get this wrong. I think it's in season four or five. It's Dorian Harewood. And I'm
no,
because I'm like, I know that voice. That's friggin' War Machine. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I've said this multiple times on multiple podcasts recently. The 80s were a unique time because in animation, because you had one thing running into another. So G.I. Joe, I'm probably going to get this wrong because I refuse to look at any information at this point in time, premiered in 82. 82, 83, somewhere around there. And then mm-hmm. Transformers in 84. And then obviously He-Man in 83, She-Ra in 85, Thundercats in 85, Voltron in 84. So you have this whole thing where you can go from one to the other to the other. So by 87, when Turtles hit, you know, you could watch that along with DuckTales and everything else. But Transformers, yeah, I mean, it's stuck around for near, we are 2 years away from the 40th anniversary.
Yeah. Can't believe it. Yep.
All right. So you've kind of already alluded to it, but again, have to ask this. What Transformers generation is your generation and why?
Yeah. I mean, I think the answer is obvious. I mean, G1 all the way. And just because that's what I grew up with. Although, you know, I'm not a G1 purist or anything like that. I love a lot of the stuff that came after it. I don't love everything that came after it, but I love a lot of the things that came after it. So I'm always looking for new Transformer stuff and appreciating what new things get brought to the table. It's always nice to see when Transformers concepts get iterated on and improved upon and new things get added in. But yeah, G1, of course, is that's my home.
Yeah, absolutely. What other generations of Transformers do you like?
Well, I'm not the number one Beast Wars fan on the Transmissions podcast, but I am a big fan of Beast Wars. I really enjoyed that show. You know, that hit right when I was in college. So at the time that I was thinking, well, Transformers is pretty much over and done with. And then here's this thing coming back. And you know, it was interesting because all my friends in college were also Transformers fans, like, you know, lapsed Transformers fans. You know, no one was playing with Transformers toys in college but you know, we all remembered it fondly. And then when I discovered the Beast Wars show, I actually got all my friends to, you know, sit down and watch the show with me when they had the crossover at the end of season two with the agenda and had, you know, mm-hmm. had Ravage guest starring and everyone was like, oh yeah, that's the old Transformers coming back. So a nice little hit of nostalgia. But I've loved comics have been really one of my major favorites, like the comics, the Marvel comics from the 80s, both the US and the UK versions. Through to Dreamwave and IDW, all the comics iterations have really caught my interest. And more recently, although now recently is 10 years ago, Transformers Animated, Transformers Prime, and then just Transformers Cyberverse recently was a really surprising show. I didn't think it was going to be good, but I really enjoyed it. And then the recent trilogy, the War for Cybertron trilogy on Netflix, I thought that was fun too.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, Cyberverse was, when I first saw that, I was like, okay, this is the 21st century. Like, for kids of today, this is their G1, is how I usually phrase it when it comes to Cyberverse, because even though it had way more differences in characters versus what G1 had, it just felt like you could get anyone to get into the brand based off that show.
Yeah.
Speaking of proof of concept, do you like or loathe the Bayverse, or are you indifferent to it?
Yeah, I mean, maybe loathe is too strong, but I'm not a fan. I was really excited for the 2007 movie. That was really exciting to have, you know, the first live action big budget Transformers movie, have Transformers capture the zeitgeist. You know, that's something that it hadn't really captured since the 80s in terms of, you know, Transformers fans and kids loved playing with Transformers toys, but Transformers was pretty much not an afterthought to everyone else in the world. So having Transformers take center stage in 2007 was exciting. There was a lot of good things I liked in the movie. A lot of things I didn't like. I've always said that the design aesthetic of the robots really turned me off. You know, it seemed like for every robot except Optimus Prime, they made an effort to go away from the original designs as much as possible, mm-hmm. so that they were not recognizable at all.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, you know, I understand wanting to put a unique stamp on things and modernize it and capture the audience, you know, capture a wider audience. But, you know, I think you could still pay homage to the original, you know, like I compare like to Marvel movies where Marvel movies change a lot from the original Marvel comics, but they still capture the core and the essence. And I felt like the Bay movies kind of threw the core and the essence of Transformers out when they've produced the movies. I mean, my main, like my core complaint for the live action movies is we need more Transformers in the Transformers movies. The Transformers movies should not be people starring. It should not be starring famous actors and featuring the Transformers. It should be the Transformers are the main characters and the stars. The people are the afterthought. And the live action movies always centered the people, which I was not a fan of.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're doing this now, and this will be released in a week or so, maybe. I don't know yet how the release is going to go. But as of right now, I've been seeing this article go around the various insert website here, but I've got it up on Gizmodo. Steven Spielberg heroically told Michael Bay to stop making Transformers movies.
I did see that article.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, apparently Michael Bay has regrets. During the press interview for his upcoming film Ambulance, the director revealed that significantly better director Steven Spielberg once advised him to stop making Transformers films. He says, "Advice I desperately wish Bay had taken." What's surprising is that, you know, he didn't, you know, it took him up until Dark of the Moon to tell him that. So, I mean, the thing with me and the designs of the robots in the live action movies is I don't want to see the insides on the outside of the robot. Like, that's not like, I get it. We need to know how the gears function and move, but it's bad enough we have kibble on toys. Like, we don't need kibble on multi-million dollar anyway. We're actually, I don't know how I'm doing this yet, but we are going to be doing a blockbuster summer of 2022 where myself and either Steve Megatron or other people are going to go through all of those films.
Oh, my.
We've never done that on All Things Transformers. Well, was it last year? It had to have been last year, most likely. When did Bumblebee come out?
2018,
2019. Okay. So at some point after Bumblebee came out, when it hit digital, Vudu was like, "Hey, guess what? We have all six films in one." So I just bought the thing. So I own them all. The last time I owned a live action movie was that stupid Best Buy steelbook edition of the first movie 15 mm-hmm. years ago. Yeah. I mean, you know what? The stories of the films and what they did, but as far as the overall financial success for the brand, yay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I've sold out by saying that, but not everybody's.
I mean, the Transformers sold out from the beginning. I mean, that was the point. So,
that's true.
It's a toy commercial. I mean, you have to reconcile your love of the brand with that. So,
very true. Very true. What was your very first Transformers toy as a kid?
So I'm not sure if this is correct, but I do distinctly remember getting Huffer that first year, because I remember like. I think my parents underestimated the popularity of Transformers and maybe like got their shopping done late, and probably all the store shelves were bare. And that first year, you know, I asked for Optimus Prime, asked for Soundwave, asked for Megatron, and I got Huffer.
So, we're not fighters like they are, Prime.
We must have courage, Huffer. We can't ignore the danger. We must conquer it.
And I loved my little Huffer. He was fine. A fine toy. Played with him a lot. But my parents did come through in later Christmases. So in 85, I think I got a Ramjet and maybe a couple other. I can't remember. But 86, I really remember. 86, when the movie came out, I got Cyclonus, I got Scourge, I got Blur and Cup, I got Metroplex. So that year, that was a fun year. But it took a couple years for my parents to catch up.
Yeah, I was four when it started. So I was four in 84. So I kind of literally was growing. Like, obviously, 5, 6, 7, I remember. But obviously, at 4 years old, I don't remember. I think the only thing I remember at 4 years old is watching Red Sox games at the time. But anyway, yeah, no, and I never had a Soundwave until way, 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 way later in life. But I had Blaster, so Blaster was my guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had a Blaster, too. That was when I got that, I think, that year with Ramjet. That year I got Ramjet. So, yeah, the 80, 85, right before the movie.
I'm going to ask question 6, but I know in your case it's pretty pointless since you were in college. When I was a kid in like elementary school, we would go out and play. It wasn't called live action role play in the 80s, folks. It was called playing pretend and using your imagination and whatever. Growing up, did you or your friends ever pretend to play Transformers? And by this, I don't mean playing with the toys. I mean, like, I'm Charles and I'm going to be Huffer, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. You would act out the way the characters are, kind of thing. But no,
I can't recall doing that as a kid. I definitely remember playing with the toys and being on the floor with my friends, you know, each having toys and banging the toys against each other and having battles, yeah, and stuff. But I can't say I remember, like, you know, running around, you know, with a, you know, saying pew pew, I'm Optimus Prime, yeah, or anything like that.
Yeah. Only Leia gets to do the pew pew. That's a really, really bad meme audio joke, folks. All right. Who is your end all be all favorite character from any Transformers incarnation? You can pick one Decepticon, one Autobot, one Maximal, one Predacon.
Okay, so I guess I'll say Grimlock. Just Grimlock.
Me Grimlock, no bozo, me king!
Specifically Grimlock from the Marvel comics. I really like how they portrayed him. I mean, also portrayed Grimlock as, you know, a more, even though he was violent and kind of a little bit power hungry, he was still,
yeah,
intelligent and loyal to his fellow Dinobots and the kind of the journey he went through, starting off as kind of, you know, butting heads with Optimus Prime. But then later on, after Prime died, becoming leader, but then the leadership going to his head. And then, you know, later on, after the Dinobots were kind of went offline and he had a quest to revive them. Just all the stuff that Simon Furman did with Grimlock in the comics. Both in the UK and in the US series, it was really something that always tugged at my heartstrings.
Me, Grimlock, greatest warrior.
I collected all the US G1 Marvel issues, and I, you know, those were in the long days of the 90s when there were kind of very little Transformers media being produced other than Beast Wars, but pretty much all the, like, any G1 focused media was gone before, you know, between the end of Marvel and before Dreamwave started. Yep. those Marvel comics were, you know, just my haven. For I would, you know, just pull out the whole run and read through it, you know, every year or so, and just read through those stories. And then when I discovered eBay, that's when I got the UK comics. I had no idea the UK comics existed before eBay, so I caught up to that in the late 90s and early 2000s. But for other characters, Decepticon, I'll say Megatron. And maybe this is cheating because I really like the Megatron arc that he had in the the first IDW continuity, where he actually turned into an Autobot. So maybe that's cheating since he started as
Decepticon. That's not cheating.
but yeah, I mean, the whole arc he went through in his redemption, I thought was really well done. And I give James Roberts a lot of credit for that.
No one does that to me and continues to function.
Yeah. For turning Megatron into giving him a redemptive arc, you know, turning Space Hitler into a redemption story. Maximal, got to go with Dinobot. Code of Hero is a classic episode, and just his whole arc in the Beast Wars series.
Impressive.
and Predacon. I guess I'll go with Beast Wars Megatron again, just for the voice.
Excellent. Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that voice. As I've been editing podcasts recently over the last couple of months, it's from Dark Designs. There's a line where he's, you know, punching in. It's the little, I'll probably put the audio in here somewhere, but.
What's going on around here?
Anytime anything goes wrong in one of my podcasts, I'll throw that clip in just because it's either that or Joker, Mark Hamill. Technical difficulties. Let's move on, shall we? What are some other Transformers characters you like?
I'm a fan of Hot Rod. I know he gets a lot of flack for quote unquote killing Optimus Prime in the movie, but I like his character. I like I like him pre-Rodimus, so I like the kind of young warrior, hothead warrior.
Hey, Cop, don't you think we have better things to do now than tell old stories?
Like what?
Like maybe figure out how we're going to rescue our friends and then save Cybertron.
I like what they've done with him in other series. Like the IDW Hot Rod / Rodimus is really fun. Hot Rod in Cyberverse is a really fun character, too. He's a good one. Shockwave is a great villain, evil Dr. Spock or Mr. Spock, I should say, not Dr. Spock, not the baby doctor, the Star Trek logic guy, Vulcan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Evil Mr. Spock is a great approach or premise for a villain.
Everything is going as planned, oh great one. As you've predicted, the Decepticon uprisings at the rim of the galaxy are straining Autobot forces to the breaking point.
And he's had some great villain arcs in different series. Blur, I like. Blur, just for John, again, the voice, John Machida, gives a great character to Blur. And, the fastest Autobot alive and everything.
I think over time, just comparing the two series, because he's only ever been in two series, really. Between G1 and Animated, I think he probably had a lot of fun in G1 as Blur.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, Blur wasn't exactly at least in the movie, he was a main new character, and he had his name up there in lights in the credits, and that's great. Obviously, Season 3 is where he kind of shined, but by the time you get to Animated, and when they brought him back, and I was like, wait a minute, that's Blur. That's Blur being hilarious. I just feel like those animated voice sessions, he probably had a heck of a lot more fun because, the whole thing with Bumblebee and Zippy and all this and all that and everything else. Yeah, Blur is awesome.
All right, Zippy, start talking.
First of all, the name's not Zippy. As a matter of fact, I don't believe I've ever met another bot named Zippy. Someone can only assume that you came up with Zippy in reference to my speed, which may be technically accurate, but lacks a certain creativity. More to the point, the name's Blur. I'm an Autobot intelligence agent sent to this planet by the Elite Guard to keep an eye on Optimus Prime and his crew, as well as monitor Decepticon activity. And you, my friend, have just blown a decacycle of covert surveillance designed to uncover Megatron's plot to conquer Cybertron. Everything was going according to plan when I intercepted a communication between the Decepticon leader and an unknown double agent. They were in the midst of plotting the abduction of an unsuspecting Autobot, which now, from the status of the current ground situation, appears to have been successful. Got that so far?
Could you repeat the last part?
Which last part?
Oh, everything after the name's not Zippy.
Are there any Transformers characters you hate?
That's nothing's coming straight to mind. I mean, there are, I think all, nothing's coming to mind right now, but there are definitely, I would say there are characters I love to hate in terms of villains that do a really good job of being villainous, but that's that they serve the story. So it's like something like the Decepticon Justice Division. I think that's a really cool idea for like Decepticon fanatics. And it's a cool villain. But I can't say that there are characters that I really despise. Maybe the movie characters. Maybe those Skids and Mudflap from from Revenge of the Fallen. Yeah, those guys. Those guys are terrible. Those are characters I hate.
Well, it's funny, your co-host and compatriot, it's a good thing I wasn't able to fall out of my chair, because I almost did when he told me he hates Bumblebee. And it's basically the idea of that Bumblebee is, you know, the more in lights now than anything else. It's not just the kid character or the kid associated character.
I guess can I say human characters in the live action movie? Mark Wahlberg as Cade Yeager. That's a character I was not a fan of.
My biggest issue with that is it has nothing to do with Marky Mark and his funky nights, but why in the world are you going to put Sideshow Bob God. And it's not even like, look, take the Sideshow Bob thing out of it. Why in the world would you put the only man in a Transformers movie that actually did a live action 90s X-Men Beast the best he could have been done, even though that movie sucks? The shining light in Last Stand is Kelsey Grammer as the voice and you know,
visual appearance. He dressed up in the suit too.
Yep. Oh, my stars and garters. Yeah, I mean, we're not really going to say I know there are a lot of people that hate Wheelie, but let's just say, usually everyone that I ask the question about, are there any Wheelie is usually the number one answer on everybody's mind, because everybody just assumes that Wheelie is the scrappy doo of Transformers, and he's not. But but it's just one of those things where, like, I understand live action needed the humans you need to have stars in your live action film. I get it. But the Transformers for me have never been about the humans. Yes, the humans are involved in the, like, take Spike and Carly when they went on adventures with Swoop, or when they went with Bumblebee and they ended up on Cybertron. This is like season one, season two of G1. Mm-hmm. That's fine. They're along for the ride and they add things to the story, but the story isn't focused on them.
Right.
Story's focused on the 50-foot giant robots. Anyway.
Yeah, no one's pretending to be Spike when they're playing. They're,
As cool as his voice is, no, because of who voices him, but no. Over your lifetime, as you got older, did your interest in the Transformers franchise grow stronger or get weaker?
Yeah, I'd definitely say it's gotten stronger. So, of course, in the 90s, I was entering adulthood and Transformers definitely got lower prioritized, but it's always there in the back of my mind. Like, I was like hung out on the old bulletin board forums, you know, the news groups. Yep. In the 90s, before message boards, before social media and everything. So I've always been hanging around. I was kind of pretty much a lurker. Like, I didn't really post a lot, but I was, was reading up on stuff. I read, a fair amount of fanfic when people were writing a lot, being prolific in fanfic. When Hasbro was not doing new G1 stories, fanfic was where, I got a lot of my entertainment with Transformers. So, I've stoked those fires throughout my life. And yeah, now with a regular podcast, a weekly podcast, I get to continue to encourage my hobby.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're doing a podcast about the franchise that you love, then you kind of have to be in it. It's like, you go through news stories every week, you go through, listings every week, you take your trips to the store, you know what I mean? You always find these things to bring to the Transformers specific podcast that you've been doing for 9 years. And I don't know, I think I've said it once, but you are the, this is a little interim, so this is between question 10 and 11. Did you create transmissions, or were you just one of the ones that helped? Like, because usually there's one or two people that create a podcast, or is it an all-encompassing team effort?
So I definitely would say it's a team effort here. So really, Jeremy was the one who got the idea, who started. Like, he basically, I had done a couple of guest episodes on the Underbase back in the day.
Yep.
And Jeremy heard me on the Underbase, and I was, you know, I'm in Pittsburgh, and at the time Jeremy was also living in Pittsburgh. So when I mentioned on the podcast that when I was on the Underbase that I was in Pittsburgh, and he heard that I was in Pittsburgh, so he's like, "Hey, oh, fellow Transformers fan nearby, that's cool." And then, you know, we connected on Facebook, and then he decided he wanted to start a podcast, so he asked me if I would join him, and then he Jeremy also put a message out on Reddit seeing if anyone else was interested, and that's where Daryl and Yoshi heard it, and then we all got together and then decided to start things up. So yeah, so the four of us came together and we started things, and figuring out how do we actually do this, you know, what, and Jeremy's does IT for his day job, so he was able to do all the, you know, setting up domain and getting a website set up and everything, and then we all of us fumbled our way through figuring out how to record and edit a podcast remotely, since we never record in the same room pretty much. So we're always recording remotely. And then we did a test show just to see how we could figure things out. And then we just started going.
Awesome. You heard it here first, folks. May's guest, because this will be the April episode of Origins, May's guest is probably going to be Jeremy. Triple shot of Origins. All the transmissions hosts. Well, not all of them, but a good number of them anyway. At least three out of the five or six or however many.
It's a growing family.
I mean, if you ever want another number one Beast Wars fan, I know a few.
No.
Was there ever a moment in your life where you were done with everything Transformers?
No, I've never been done with Transformers. There are times I was done with certain aspects of the franchise, but I was never done with it completely. Like when the Unicron trilogy, Armada, Energon and Cybertron, I was actually kind of genuinely excited. Like after seeing the Armada toys come out, and I was interested to see what the cartoon would be like, but I got pretty disappointed watching the cartoon and realizing it was what if we did Transformers with Pokemon, and I was like, that's not for me. So I kind of fell out of the Armada cartoon pretty quickly and didn't stick around, which I know people say that it picks up significantly and has some really good story arcs, but sadly I didn't make it that far. I still enjoyed some of the toys, I collected some of the toys occasionally, but yeah, the Unicron trilogy cartoons pretty much lost me, but I did come back.
Yeah, right around that time I had tried, that was what, 2003, 2000, no, when did Armada come out?
Yeah, I think it was like 2004. I think it was around there.
Okay. Yeah, that's right, cuz I remember that old PlayStation video game.
Yeah.
That game sucked almost as bad as the cartoon did. I 2004 to almost until I started podcasting in December of 2008, I was not, from throughout the whole Unicron trilogy, I'm just like, yeah, it's not for me. It's okay. I've got plenty of other things I can watch, or plenty of other things I can listen to, or plenty of other things I can read or whatever. And then,
That's
what it is. With the internet giving birth to the fans all having a voice about what they like or don't like about Transformers, do you find that your voice gets lost in the shuffle, or do you just shout louder?
Well, having a podcast gives you a unique opportunity to make your voice heard, but I tend to just I'm tend to not argue with people anymore. Like I did a fair amount of arguing on the internet, 20 years ago, and I've realized how pointless it is. So I'm not interested in arguing with people anymore. So I'm happy to share my opinion, share my love of things, I'll give my opinions about things I don't like, but I'm never going to tell anyone they're wrong for liking or not liking something else. And I'm not going to argue with people over what their favorite thing is. And if they're going to tell me that I'm wrong for things I love, I'll just ignore them. I'm not going to shout back.
I love how your answers are tying into things that have happened to me in the last week or so. Because, again, as of this recording, even though people won't hear it until, I believe, the first week of it, the first Tuesday in April, we are recording this March 31st, 2022. I follow a good buddy of mine, Ryan Drost. He does the Star Joes podcast, and he and his buddies have a Star Joes Facebook page, and they share memes and everything else. And one of the memes, as of this recording, on the 21st of March, the GoBots, with Leader One and Psykill and all, basically the three main characters, and under it, the Kmart of Transformers. I replied to someone that said, "GoBots were there first, ha 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 ha." My reply to this person was, "And in this case, first was the worst." He replies to me, "That's your opinion. Too bad your opinion is wrong." And I'm like, look, opinions can't be right or wrong. They just exist as opinions. If I'm walking down one road and you can't follow me, as long as we can agree on other things, fine. Like, yep. Just because my buddy Steve Megatron, this is his podcast and he lets me do these origin things because I have fun doing these and whatever, but just because he's not that into BotBots and won't show it to his kids doesn't mean that I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not the end of the world. Like, oh my God, we're going to ruin 14 years of friendship over a cartoon that we, whatever. But yeah, the reason why that question is there is because of more so, not necessarily because you have a podcast and you can shout louder if you prefer, but it's more of like you were saying, 10 years ago, et cetera, with writing out comments on message boards and forums. And like, if I go, I don't know, I probably already did this, but if I go onto the Transmissions Discord channel and I find the introduction section, I'll write out my introduction of who I am and what I like. And if somebody's going to come at me with, "Oh, well, you're wrong for liking Hot Rod over Springer," and I'm like, okay, well, that's your opinion. You can die on that if you want. It's not my fault. Springer's a home wrecking mofo.
This is getting expensive.
Yeah, at least on the Transmissions Discord, you won't find anyone who is going to, insult you for your opinion. At least I don't think so. But
you can always ban them. I'm so over the whole "I'm right and you're wrong" thing. We can all, it's why can't we have nice things, or why can't we all just get along? Mm-hmm. what? I feel like I'm having some Transformers PTSD at the moment. PTSD at the moment, even though that's not a real joke. What is your Transformers personal anthem song? Examples, but you don't have to choose these. Stan Bush, The Touch, Dare, etc. So what would be Charles's Transformers anthem song?
Yeah, I think I got to go with Dare. I just really love that sequence at the beginning of the 86 movie where Daniel spots the hole in the ship and then Hot Rod mm-hmm. sees it, starts fire. It doesn't warn anybody or tell the Autobots, "Hey, we're under attack." He just starts firing, which is fine. He's hot-headed. But that whole sequence, and then Cup, being the hero and when he does that flip and he diverts Blitzwing's blast and it hits shrapnel and then they collide and I just love that whole sequence, and the music gets me pumped listening to that as that sequence happens. So yeah, that's always in my mind.
If you're gonna ride, Dano, ride in style. You can win if you dare.
Absolutely. Love that sequence. And hey, look, now we actually have a Blitzwing toy that we can reenact that with Studio Series 86 Cup and then the Blitzwing figure from Legacy coming up. So, you know. Of course, the kibble on the Blitzwing toy might get in the way, sadly. I get it. That's how they had to do it. Fine. It's not the end of the world. How often do you go back and rewatch any of the Transformers cartoons?
So I think the one thing I do rewatch regularly is the 86 movie. Like I try to watch that, you know, once a year or so. And then of course with the re-releases, it's easy to do that. Nope. I took my kids to see the 4K when they had it in theaters last fall. They had the for the 4K re-release. We went out to the theater to see it. Of course, I bought the 4K release, and I bought the Blu-ray 5 years earlier, and I have the original DVD too. So, that's the one that stays in rotation for me. I tend not to go back and rewatch the series. You know, I might go and rewatch a couple episodes here and there, but I don't really kind of run through the whole series anymore. Yeah. I do the comics are things that are. That, as I said, those are the ones that are kind of near and dear to me, and I'll go and reread through the whole Marvel series. Although I haven't done that in a while, but I did do that pretty frequently back in my younger days.
yeah. I mean, with the cartoons, before I start, because I started on the TFG1 podcast, where I went through all 98 episodes, and that was 2008 through 2009. And then, I've watched all 98 of these. I don't need, I only go back to certain episodes. Same thing with Beast Wars. Same. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the only one that I would actually go back through from beginning to end within maybe 2 or 3 days of starting it is most likely Beast Machines, because Beast Machines was one through line story. And I'm a continuity glutton, so, 1999 versus 1984 to 1987. 1984 to 87, they were, they had a couple of two-parters in the first couple of seasons, but it was weekly, daily, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? It was episodic television. It wasn't More Than Meets the Eye, part 1 through part 98, it wasn't that. It was, all these varying different things. Whereas Beast Machines, it's however many overall episodes it is, and, it's one storyline through and through. There are no one-off episodes of Beast Machines. All right, so you mentioned it a moment ago. We all love Transformers comics. Which incarnation do you love and why?
Yeah, so I think I've mentioned several times the G1 Marvel comics were really a source of just great storytelling for me, just because the cartoon ended in 87, and I was kind of bummed when the cartoon kind of ended abruptly. It had those three, season four was basically three episodes, which is that's not really a full season. And there was, I was like, well, where am I going to get? Is there any more Transformers stories out there? And I was aware of the comics, but I wasn't really collecting comic books at the time. I was still, I think by the time this Transformers series ended, I was getting into my teen years. So that's when I kind of discovered, ooh, comic books. Let me, I started collecting a lot of Marvel comics, Spider-Man, X-Men, and Transformers was really, you know, right there with, you know, that was my gateway into comic book collecting is, oh, there's Transformers comics. There's a lot of Transformers comics. So I'm picking up issue, 47. I have to go back and find the other 46 issues. Yep. So that was part of a lot of my early comic book collecting was hunting down those back issues and, you know, scraping up the money to be able to buy the back issues out of the bin so I could get the complete set. While I was continuing to collect the series, and you know that and it was funny because, you know, in the cartoon, of course, Transformers and humans are always working together. It's like, oh, everyone loves the Autobots; they're the good guys, of course. Why wouldn't they love the Autobots? And then in the comics, like, oh, wait a minute, everyone hates the Transformers. Everyone hates the Autobots and the Decepticons. They can't tell the difference between the Autobots and the Decepticons. This is really interesting. So, you know, just adding that layer of a little bit more sophisticated storytelling in the comics for my teenage brain was a delight. And a close second is the IDW run, like starting with More Than Meets the Eye and Robots in Disguise. You know, I think that those were the successor to my love for the Marvel G1 comics. And like I see, you know, a straight line between Simon Furman and James Roberts and James Roberts really taking all the stuff he loved about Simon Furman's run in the G1 series. And then, you know, bringing all that storytelling into the modern day with the IDW comics.
I think More Than Meets the Eye has the only humans that I have ever loved in Transformers. It's the hollow avatars of Megatron and Rodimus.
So that's a little bit of cheating.
Well, yeah, but, you know, I mean, yeah, no, that whole run, I was never into the Transformers comics. I have maybe read the first volume of Marvel US. I've never read UK, never read Dreamwave. I plan to at some point when I can find some time to do so, but it only took two or three phrases to get me to check out IDW. My buddy Ender used to be on, I don't know if he's still on, Radio Free Cybertron. And Ender basically told me about Shadowplay and Impurata. And I'm like, wait, what? They did what? With who? Wait, where? Huh? Shockwave is what? And I just, that's how the Pullbag, my comic book podcast, kind of, we started on other things. But by episode 11, we started that More Than Meets the Eye run. And damn, such good stuff.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about toys. How big or small is your Transformers toy collection?
It's not huge. I was never a huge toy collector. The media was really what sucked me in, the comics and the cartoon. But I do have a fair amount. I would say it's probably between 100 and 200 toys, but it's not huge.
You know, that's still a good size. I mean, it's not like 1,000 or anything, but it's still a good size.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to say this, and I agree. You guys and I are on the same wavelength with the whole NFT things, but I will say this. How do you feel about non-transforming Transformers like Funko Pops or Mighty Mugs?
I generally will probably pass them over for me. You know, just for me, it's I'm more interested in the, you know, in the puzzle aspect and the transforming and the sensation of going from one mode to another. I do like some of the things like model kits, the Ferrari model kits, I think are really cool. You know, some action figurines I think are cool. Like I think those red are robot enhanced design figures. I think that's a cool idea. You know. Taking kind of Action Master to the next level, but for me, I'm really focused on transforming toys. I think if you want to capture my interest, the toys got to transform. Like I remember distinctly, like purposefully back in the like in 1989 or 1990, I did completely avoid Action Masters just because I was like, Why do these exist? Why are they Transformers that don't transform? And why should I buy them? And I mean, I think I missed out on a bunch of some cool on some cool figures, but yeah, I was not a fan of non-transforming Transformers.
And for me now, like, yeah, you're right. In general, yes, I want the puzzle aspect, but I'm too old now. I just want the characters I love. Hence why I used to. I still kind of do, but it just depresses me as all hell. But I used to I used to sing Funko Pop's praises, and now that Funko has entered the...
Yeah.
Stop destroying the environment, Funko. You too, DC. I saw an article recently, a month or so ago. It's recently as of this recording, but DC is also getting in on the NFT thing too. I saw an article about, oh, this could bring billions for DC. And I'm like, really? I mean, I know it's like 17 different versions of Batman, but
yeah,
whatever. What is the one Transformers toy you could never part with ever? So basically how I frame this is every human, every pet, every family member is safe, but the house is burning down. What would you run in to save?
I think I got it. I got to save my Unicron, the HasLab Unicron. I think everything else I could probably replace. It's, you know, but that Unicron, I don't think unless I'm willing to shell out like $2,000 or $3,000, I'm not getting another Unicron.
Oh my God. Yes. Oh yeah. Yeah. Any of the HasLab stuff is like, oh, ouch, my wallet. Speaking of, I hope that isn't the answer to this question, but what was the most money you spent on a Transformers toy or toy item ever?
Yeah, I think it is the HasLab Unicron. I backed it originally, so I just paid the sticker price. I didn't pay the eBay price.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But yeah, that I think that a close second is I did. I went to BotCon 2014 and I got the Primus package and that mm-hmm. you know that gave you all the toys and everything. So that was around like $400 to get. You know, you got the VIP access. You got to talk to have a special meet and greet with the voice actors at the convention, and got the premium access and everything. So. That was like my first and only BotCon that I got to go to, so I kind of splurged on that.
Mm. Yeah, I never went. I got close. So I always say Louisville, Kentucky basically destroyed BotCon because 2016 was the last BotCon, and it was in Louisville, Kentucky, and I had been living in Louisville for 20-some-odd years at that point, and, you know... I just can't keep her name out of my mouth, but Amy, she went to that BotCon, and we went down to 4th Street Live to the free Stan Bush Vince DiCola concert and hung out. First time I ever met Amy. It was a blast. It was absolutely a blast. But yeah, that was the only time. So technically I was BotCon adjacent because the convention was at some other venue. But the 4th Street Live in Louisville is like it used to be the Galleria Mall.
Mm-hmm.
So this giant glass enclosed mall. Well, that went under years ago and they just turned it into a hollow out section of the street where it still has the glass roof. So you don't get rained on, but you can essentially have indoor shows outdoors. And yeah, so there's that. Let's see. Do you have a "my parents got rid of my toys" story?
No. My parents were generally pretty good about that. Like, I don't think they purposefully got rid of any of my Transformers toys. I do have I kind of have a reverse story though, and I've told this on transmissions many times. Is that my mm-hmm. my younger brother? He's about he's 13 or 14 years younger than me, so he was a 90s kid and he was right into Beast Wars in the 90s. He got all the Beast Wars toys for Christmas. You know, I helped my parents shop for the right Beast Wars toys for his Christmas presents. And, but he grew out of it pretty quickly. Like, you know, when he got into high school and college, he had no interest in his old toys. And I was like, well, do you mind if I take them? And he said, sure, go ahead. So I've got all his old Beast Wars toys. And, you know, so he voluntarily gave them up to me, and I gave them a good home.
There you go. Very cool. Very cool. All right. If you could voice any Transformers character, who would it be and why?
Oh, that's interesting. Well, my voice is kind of deep, so I think I could probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't want to, you know, try to say that I'm anywhere close to David Kaye's level, but I'd like to try a hand at Beast Wars Megatron. But
no,
yeah, I think I'd probably need some practice for that. But
well. What do we have here?
I actually have done for the Audio Nights Theater. Thing they did where they were putting voices on the comics and the More Than Meets the Eye comics.
Right.
I did the voice of Blaster for a couple of their issues. So maybe that's a good choice for me.
All right. So may the man rest in peace. But throw your blaster at me.
Oh man.
Hey, you brought it up. I'm putting you. I mean, that's just like me going after Daryl with his number one Beast Wars fan status. Come on, give me some All blaster right. blasting at you.
Optimus Prime, do you read me? The Decepticons are blitzing Autobot City. We don't know how long we can hold out.
Awesome.
Cover your receptors, Perceptor.
Awesome. Very cool. I wish he was still alive.
Yeah.
I really do. Oh, Blaster was such a great character. He is still such a great character, but without that voice, man. Who is your favorite Transformers? I have it written as actor, but voice actor, you know, like they're all actors, but you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. Who's your favorite Transformers person?
Yeah, that's there's so many good ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know Daryl. I heard Daryl's answer, and I think I might have to steal his answer. I got to go with Frank Welker. I mean, just the amazing range that he has to voice so many different characters and cover so many, you know, different styles and moods and everything. So yeah, good old Frank Welker, and he shares my birthday. I have the same birthday as Frank Welker.
March 12th,
yeah. Or I share his birthday. I shouldn't say he shares mine.
Oh boy, we're getting in trouble for that, folks. Yeah, if I ever get him on an interview, I want to have him do a conversation between Fred Jones and Megatron. Oh man. What is your dream masterpiece figure? This cannot be anything that's already in the pipeline. It cannot be anything that's already made. What is a masterpiece figure that you absolutely want that they have not made yet?
Hmm. Okay. Metroplex.
Wow.
That's probably the size as big as my car or something.
Well, I mean, that Unicron box is pretty big, but yeah. Metroplex is a masterpiece. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, other than sheer cost, that would most definitely have to be a HasLab thing,
yeah.
Because it is so, man, especially if you want it big enough to where you can put the other bots in it, because
mm-hmm.
Isn't that the whole point is, you know, to, yeah. Wow. I was not expecting that answer. Learn something new every day, folks. Where do you land on the Rumble is Blue, Frenzy is Red, or Rumble is Red and Frenzy is Blue debate?
Well, yeah, I mean, the G1 cartoon was that was my original introduction. So, I mean, really, I got to say, Frenzy as a character doesn't really exist. I mean, it's Rumble and the other guy who looks and sounds exactly like Rumble. I mean, it's, so Rumble is blue, purple, whatever. I mean, that's the character who was in the cartoon. Frenzy showed up like every other, you know, like once or twice in the season. Then he was in the movie, but he had the same voice. He had the exact same powers. He didn't do anything different. So yeah. It's just there's just Rumble. There's a blue guy named Rumble. There's a background character that some people refer to as Frenzy, who's red and black.
What was the other one? Oh man, there was another red on red cassette. Oh,
is that Enemy or is that it?
Yes, thank you. thank you. Yes. Rumble, Frenzy, and Enemy. Interesting. Somebody got to do a story with those three. At least give Frenzy a decent backstory.
Frenzy he got a little bit of shine in the comics, and in the comics are always consistently Frenzy is blue and purple, and Rumble is red and black. Frenzy, like they did show his, you know, Frenzy is supposed to have sonic powers as opposed to the, you know, the pile drivers. And so he had a couple of standout issues, but it was never anything as prominent as the G1 cartoon.
Hey, I didn't volunteer for this geeky assignment. I want Skywalk's job.
But Frenzy, Geekworks made for a geek like you.
Second to last question, if you could create any Transformers fiction, toy, cartoon, comic, etc., what would it be and what story would you want to tell with it? Basically, Hasbro gives you the keys to the kingdom.
So, yeah, I want a Pixar-esque Transformers live action, or not live action, full length movie, Pixar animated, computer animated, not necessarily the Pixar style, but in the, you know, completely animated, all the characters done in like modern animation. And I would love for it to be like a, you know, a Lost Light space quest adventure thing that adapts, you know, does not necessarily, you know, shot for shot remake of the comic or anything like that, but take a really juicy story from those comics and adapt that into a full-length movie, or maybe even like a series, like a, you know, a 20 episode series on, you know, another Netflix series but they give them the real budget. They give them the full budget to animate it as, you know, as lavishly as possible. I think that would be really cool. And keep James Roberts on as a story consultant. So whoever they get to write it, you know, make sure you consult him and yeah. Keep that core of the story, even if you have to change things around.
Yeah, I think the whole Megatron as an Autobot arc would make a perfect like 1-2 part film or one to two part series. Hell, you could even do a little bit more of before and after that with, you know, making it maybe a 5-episode series. And look, folks, like you said earlier, 3 episodes really isn't a season. And I was going to say then, and I'll say it here. Yeah, originally it was going to be 5, but they went to David Wise and said, yeah, budget's been cut, so you got to fit everything you're going to fit into this 5-parter into a 3-parter. So that's why we got 120 new characters. Again, may the man rest in peace. Yeah, I mean, why not? I would love to see that in animation. That would be awesome. For half of a second there, I was going to say, well, there you go, Charles. BotBots is yours.
BotBots.
That show is so unique and it is so awesome. And I love that. And I, as I've already said, I'm a continuity guy. Mm-hmm. I love that it has nothing to, other than the fact that Energon came down. Like, that's the only thing it has to do with Cybertron and the Transformers. The rest of it's just mall culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And other culture things as well. All right, last question. At some point, folks, I'm going to take maybe by the next episode, I'm going to round this out with 30 questions, but we do have 26 after all, so that is an even number, I guess. What is the one piece of advice that you'd give the Transformers fandom and TF collectors in general?
Just have fun and enjoy what you like, and don't worry about what other people like or don't like. And yeah, just relax. Everybody relax. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be enjoyable. It's a hobby. It's not anything serious. It's not, climate change or world hunger or, you know, global energy crisis. It's just a fun hobby, something to keep you entertained, and it's not too serious. So just enjoy it and enjoy it. And even if there are things you don't like, you know, it's okay. You don't have to like everything. Yeah. And for what you don't like, just ignore it. Just let it go and just like what you like.
Yep. Absolutely. I've said this for at least 5 years before all the political things happened, but I have come to the point in my life where at least since about 2015, all generations matter. We don't have to like them all, but they all matter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we all have our different likes and dislikes and whatever, but that doesn't mean, just because I don't like the Unicron trilogy doesn't mean I'm going to go watch it and record a podcast on it and tell you every single, like, I don't have time for hate-filled energy anymore. I really don't. It really is a plague.
The wisdom of the ages. It's lost.
No, not lost. We're all a little wiser now.
But the Matrix is empty.
It's up to all of us to fill it again. With the wisdom we accumulate from this moment on. Autobots, transform and roll out!
Yeah. Yep. they taught us that way back in the day, in the early days. We should heed those messages.
Absolutely. And if only Spectre General could cure hunger, you know, that would be amazing. We are going to take a quick break. You're going to hear some audio ads and some other stuff. I'm sure you'll hear the amazing transmissions audio ad that Charles put together for me, as well as some other stuff. And we'll come back to close the show after this.
Hello, all sentient beings. Want the latest on everything going on in the Transformers multiverse? Check out the Transmissions Podcast Network. We've got weekly podcasts covering everything from Alpha Trion to Omega Supreme, from old school G1 all the way up to Cyberverse and beyond. And you don't want to miss Empire of Rust, the world's first and only Transformers live play role-playing game podcast. If you love Transformers, there's something for everyone at transmissionspodcast.com.
Hello, geeks. Want a podcast that covers a vast array of topics with no rhyme or reason? Then check out Altered Geek Unlimited, where the topics fly more or less off the cuff. We cover media news, TV, our favorite geek products, and of course, your feedback. So get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks every Friday on the GeekCast Radio Network.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe Podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe Podcast from the universe and beyond.
Oh, hey, I got something!
Since 2009, we have been the premier cartoon podcast here at the GeekCast Radio Network. We are ToonCast, from taking you beyond the cartoons we grew up with to seasonal saucy Toon Talk, and now we get the origins of Toonsters everywhere as we ask guests 30 questions about their cartoon watching experiences, plus so much more. Tooncast is back. Join me, TFG and Mike, and the rest of the GCRN crew as we give you all the Toon Talk you will ever need, only on the GCRN. And wherever you consume your podcasts, we are beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. We are all Toons all the time here on Tooncast.
Yeah.
So let's say you're looking for a podcast of your favorite 80s comic books, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Ninja Turtles, He-Man, etc. Where are you going to go to find us?
Welcome to Star Joe's Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan.
And I'm Chuck. That's right, everybody. We're the Star Joes. We host a podcast called Star Joe's Podcast, where we talk about your favorite comic books, your favorite toys of all the 80s properties.
Star Wars, G.I. Joe, Transformers, Mask, Thundercats, Voltron, you name it, we cover it. If it's in the 80s, we'll cover it at some point.
Yeah, so what you want to do to find us, you can go to iTunes, you can go to www.starjoes.com.
And remember, the Force will be with you.
Because knowing us is half the battle.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
All right, folks, we are back here on All Things Transformers, and wow, for you being much older than Daryl, your episode was much shorter than his was.
I've learned brevity.
Yeah, I when I went to edit Daryl's, I'm like, okay, and it was an amazing conversation. I absolutely loved it, but you know, I sit here and my editing style is I listen through to every second of the audio just so I don't screw anything up and just so I don't leave anything in that shouldn't be in and whatever. So, you know, I looked at that and I'm like, oh, boy. Yeah, his was an hour and 48. This is not even going to come close to that. All right. Any final words that you would like to say? Why don't you tell us? I mean, we kind of already got the origin, and once I have Jeremy on, we'll get the, you know, his side of the origin of Transmissions. But what is Transmission, the Transformers commercial branded podcast, all about?
Yeah, so Transmissions is now we have three shows, so I guess now we're officially a podcast network because we have multiple shows, but we do two weekly shows that are all about Transformers. So Transmissions, the original, is the flagship show that was all about Transformers toys and merchandise. So every week we go through the latest Transformers news. You know, there's always new toys coming out, so we talk about that. We cover Hasbro, Takara, and third party. So, you know, we get the whole range of stuff. We show off some of the toys that we got. So we do part of our show on YouTube so people can see stuff we got. And we like answering feedback too. So we put all that into one show, then another show, Transmissions Alt Mode. So Transmissions every Wednesday, Transmissions Alt Mode is every Friday. Alt Mode, we do comic reviews. We do cover all the news in Transformers media, you know, shows, TV, games, movies,
comics,
yes. And we do a comic review every week, and sometimes we do like show episode reviews of different shows when we don't have any comics available. And then bi-weekly we have another show called Empire of Rust, and this is a live play RPG Transformers podcast, and this is done by our producer and editor Mike, who has a group of his friends who he does role playing with. So he actually he's designed this campaign, this Transformers campaign, based on the Starfinder role playing library. And so he's adapted that, created his own rule set, written his own scenario. It takes place in the IDW comics universe. So he's kind of done an offshoot of that. So it's really interesting. And it's a fun show that's been going on for a few years now. I think they're coming up on their fourth year soon. Like they're going to have their fourth anniversary very soon. That's that show is pretty awesome. We sometimes do some crossovers where the transmissions host will play different characters and we'll have side adventures in that are separate from the main storyline of the RPG that's going on in the podcast. But that's a really fun show, and I encourage everyone to listen to that too. So you can all find all these shows at transmissionspodcast.com. And of course, we're on all the podcast services, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Amazon, I think Facebook too. Yeah. Anywhere it's an RSS feed. Just search for an RSS feed and you'll find Transmissions. And Empire of Rust is transmissionspodcast.com/rust. So if anyone's curious about that.
Very cool. Very cool. As always, I will put links in the show notes to all of that. Thank you for joining us here on All Things Transformers. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send an email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple, Google Podcasts, and as well as Spotify, which now apparently offers star ratings. First time that Spotify has done that. So you can write reviews on Apple and Google and give us star ratings on Spotify. Of course, you can choose to use any other podcatching client as well. Follow us on Twitter, @GeekCastRadio for the network, @AllThingsTFV3 for the show. I am @TFG1Mike. What is your Twitter, sir?
You can follow me @CPShelton, and you can follow Transmissions @Transmissions without the A. So I think an auto body shop got the regular transmission, so we had to just kick the A out. So, Transmissions.
What a Midas touch. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCastRadioNetwork. You can also check out All Things Transformers over there as well as Transmissions. For now, I am TFG1Mike with
Charles, a.k.a. Big C.
We hope you'll transform and transcend with us next time here on All Things Transformers.
I wish to speak to my lawyer. You can win.